Good morning. This is Dr. Susanna Dodge. I'm the publisher of the MJOTA sites, mjota.org and mjotatalks.org. And everything we talk about on these audio interviews, you can read more about on the mjotatalks.org site. Today, we're going to be talking to Dr. Avi Hankins. Dr. Hankins is the owner and proprietor of the ACES Museum in Philadelphia, in the Germantown section. The ACES Museum was opened as a tribute to black troops at a time who served in the military for America when the United States of America absurdly had two sets of armed forces, one for self-designated sons and daughters of Africa, the black troops, and one set of forces for everyone else. The ACES Museum is a wonderful testament to the bravery of troops during the Second World War. My parents were both very much active in the Second World War. My father was in the British Army. Dr. A.V. Hankins is also the daughter of a veteran. The ACES Museum is a three-story building, a huge building, right next to a park in Germantown called Pastorius Park, which is lush and green and has monuments and buildings all over it, and is a gorgeous place in the spring and in the summer. And in May, Dr. Hankins organized a gathering in Pastorius Park for Memorial Day, and where she honored veterans, the ACES Museum. Welcome, Dr. Hankins, to MJOTA Talks Radio. Today we'll be talking to you about the ACES Museum. I, first of all, would like to thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. And I'd like you to tell us right from the start, what is the ACES Museum? Where is it?
Well, the ACES Museum, honoring black and minority World War II veterans of World War II, is at 5801-3 Germantown Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was created because we discovered that on the third floor was a hall that was used as an unofficial USO, a service organization for black veterans, because in the 1940s they weren't welcome to regular USOs. We preserved what was called Parker Hall, and we recreated the ACES Museum. The reason why ACES instead of Parker Hall is because this was an opportunity to be inclusive of all veterans, all minority veterans, and not just black. And ACES gets its name because in the 1940s they used to call black people spades. Mm-hmm. So we said if you had to be a spade, we know you were the ace.
That's I've been to the hall. You know that. It's absolutely extraordinary. And anyone who's interested can see pictures of the hall and the building on the pages on ACES Museum, on mjotatalks.org, where you can find the pages several ways. But one way to find it is to go to the page that says Philadelphia business African businesses in Philadelphia, and you click on the ACES Museum. But it is really gorgeous. I was just thinking about the lovely event you had in May on Memorial Day. Can you talk about that?
Well, in 2004, President Clinton declared a official day of honor for black and minority veterans of World War II. And the National Association of Veterans, NAVVETS, selected ACES Museum as the official site for the day of honor. And actually, we are going to be working towards May. We've been doing this since 2004. We have had a day of remembrance the day after Pearl Harbor, December the 8th, actually, since 2001. So, but this is a time of special recognition for black and minority veterans. Now, this year is going to be particularly important because, as you know, a couple of days ago, they lifted the restriction of, quote, combat for female veterans. And I'm going to say, quote, because female veterans have always been on the front line, okay? But they have not been able to get the recognition. And henceforth, there were 254 jobs that were available in the armed services that weren't available for women because they had to have that, quote, combat designation. So what this does is actually open them up for recognition they should have already had. So there's going to be a special May the 25th day of honor for female veterans, as well as remembering all of the people that have fought so that we can remain free around the world. And that's one reason for this discussion today. We're actually in the process of creating a new exhibit that is going to be dedicated to African and others who were involved in the Allied victory of World War II.
Which is a wonderful thing. We've talked about this before, but I discovered, I bought a book when I was in the Museum of African Art in Washington, and it was an autobiography by Professor Wangari Maathai, who was Kenyan and the first African woman to win the Nobel Prize, and she won it for peace. And she talked about her background, and she talked about her parents, and she talked about her father, her uncles, who were in the Second World War. And she talked about the British army, the British government scooping up young men, demanding young men go into the British army. And she talked about them going in the British army, and no one heard from them again, unless some of their other Kenyan brothers had seen them die or be injured or whatever. But there was no official response from the British government. And as someone myself, the daughter of a British Army officer, and everyone in my family fought in the Second World War, and some died, some were made paraplegic. But the British government bent over backwards to be helpful to my Uncle Tony, who was a paraplegic, and to his cousin Robert, who was killed in Italy. He's memorialized. There's something called the Commonwealth Graves Commission, where everyone who died in the Second World War in England, from England, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, they're all mentioned there, but there's no one mentioned from Africa, and no one mentioned from India, and this is just incredibly tragic. I've looked when I've been in African countries for memorials of the Second World War, and I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any in Nigeria. I haven't seen any in Kenya. I saw one in the middle of Sierra Leone for the First World War, and that was interesting. But of course, you don't know when you see a war memorial whether the war memorial are for the British officers who lived in Sierra Leone, or whether they're from the Sierra Leoneans themselves. So what you're doing is absolutely tremendous. It's validating the humanity of these people that served.
Well, what happened is prior to 2001, when we activated ACES, really the only stories you heard on prominent level was the Tuskegee Airmen. And even that story has been told several times, and certainly it's been a very flat telling. What it did, it was just stress the black men and the college, and it's nothing usually about the struggle behind the lawsuits, the protests that mandated that the Tuskegee, quote, experiment exist. And the experiment was, are black people intelligent enough to fly an airplane? And so in our museum, we not only tell the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, but we tell the story of Tuskegee Air Women that flew planes, both black and the white women's Naval Corps, that was very successful. They flew thousands of miles throughout the country. And unfortunately, when the white male pilots came back, they demanded that the program be disbanded. And the question you have raised to me is, why are we doing this? Well, right now in the United States of America, you have a group of Republican elected officials who are talking about changing how we vote. And they've been very successful already in changing the districts so that they favor Republicans for state elections. Now they're trying to change the districts so that we can it can favor federal elections. Now, how does this all come together? It all comes together because if you believe, and this is, I'm here representing myself personally, not particularly the Ace Museum, and if you believe that we're human beings and we all have free rights and all men are created equal, all women are created equal, then certainly the power of the vote, the ability to be honored, as you brought up, benefit, walking on the streets, being able to eat anywhere, like in the 1960s in America, you couldn't eat, black people couldn't eat at certain restaurants, couldn't sleep at certain hotels. And up until yesterday, female veterans who fought, got disfigured for our country, could not get full benefits because of an improper classification. It's all together into making our world a better place.
Right. I know I'm a Quaker and a pacifist, and I certainly do not glorify war, and I don't like war. I don't want war. I believe that most times it's possible to prevent war by negotiations, by all sorts of things. I know one criticism you've had from local Quakers who should be supporting you, because you, what you're doing is extraordinary. But I know one criticism you've had from local Quakers is that you're glorifying war, which I find an absurd, even an obscene comment. Can you talk about that? Can you address that?
Well, the people that say that have never been to any of our programs.
Right, yeah.
And they've never been to any of our programs because what we have is a love affair.
Yeah.
We promote love. The Aces Museum on the corner of Germantown and Price is in a demilitarized zone.
Right.
Whereas you may not believe in war and I may not believe in war, we're in a war.
Right.
Okay, we're in a war. I mean, when the children come for their Puppets with History programs and you ask them what they like about the museum besides the puppets and the candy and the fun, they say we feel safe.
Yeah.
There are gunshots in Germantown. There's murder in Germantown. And there's prison in Philadelphia, one of the largest prison industries of locking up children is in Philadelphia.
Right.
So what we're talking about, peace, we want peace for everyone. We don't want just peace for the veterans. We want peace so that the children can grow up for their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You can't have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness if you're locked in the juvenile jail at 13.
Right.
So what we're trying to do is introduce them to concepts of beauty and love. You know, some of the children, only time they will be introduced to live theater and music is through our programs at ACE. And it's been documented that music helps to increase your intelligence. When we had our education enhancement program, we played classical music in the background. Now, there have been studies that show that when you play classical music, the kids smarter. But actually, the parents that play classical music are also taking the kids to the museums and talking with them and reading with them, so it can't be seen in isolation. But it's nothing to say it won't hurt. But the idea to introduce to these babies, look, there's another life for you. Dealing drugs and going back and forth into jail is a very small spectrum of the world, but for some of these kids, it's all the world they have. So when someone says that we promote war, we're promoting peace in the most intimate way. We're promoting peace for our babies so that they can have an opportunity to see this glorious world. See, the world is great. It's just like we have one of these puppet shows, Black Cat, the Dog That Saves Color, and it's about the Marine Devil dogs, and they actually took people's pets and trained them to sniff out bombs. But they want to send a Rockette, who is a very ill-mannered dog in the puppet show. She pees on the audience and chews on things. And so my mom wants to send her to be a Marine Devil dog so she can save color. And the reason she wants to save color is because Hitler's Youth League, from age 8 on, all they could wear was brown. They had to join this little mini army, and they had to wear brown. So we're afraid that'll happen here. So we're trying to send Rockette. Well, anyway, at the end of the puppet show, Pop-Pop, who's a World War I veteran, tell Mom, don't call Rockette bad.
Yeah.
Okay, when you tell her she's bad and she's evil and mean, that's what she'll be. If you tell her she's good and she has the capacity for helping us save color, that's what she'll be. And she pews on the audience again, and so the audience has to tell Rockette that she's good and she's going to help save color. And once she does that, then, in fact, Rockette becomes a new good dog, and the little babies come and they actually touch the puppet. But that's a separate issue. The main thing is that what we're fighting right now is we're fighting for the kids' ability to wear colors. When you go into the juvenile jail, you wear this beige, and they start giving the kids in the public schools the same color uniform as the prisoners. Okay? Now, so when somebody that's Quaker or whoever says that to me, I'm saying, please, if you care about peace in this country, if you are the same individuals who stood against slavery, then you should be standing with us to save colors, to save the right for children to be able to have a jail-free environment. And the only way they can do that is to have another value system. If all they learn is being a thug and dealing drugs and that they have no capacity for the future, we need to give them a wonderful alternative. And when we go through these stories, like these black nurses that had to sign a pledge if they had black malaria, they couldn't come home. And we go through these people that when they came back, their cousins were tarred and feathered and lynched, and they went on to do the civil rights movement. And we go through these people that knew that they may never come home, but volunteered, like the Native Americans, 95% volunteered to go into the service because they understood if the Axis powers won, if Hitler's and his buddy won, there would be no Native American country. And they came and they worked as coal talkers and they helped save the war in the Pacific, and some of them still didn't get their benefits.
Yeah.
So the story that we're telling for Quakers and anyone else that criticizes us is a love story. And our motto is respect the past, nurture the future. By telling the love stories of the past, of the dedication of the men and the women, we have this little exhibit called The Four Chaplains. Mm. And this is our acknowledgement of the 50,000 Jewish soldiers that fought during World War II. And one of the rabbis got with the other three chaplains and gave the other sailors their place on the boat. So to this day, a chaplain in the military gets a four chaplain award. And one of the veterans came in, and he was carrying his four chaplain award. And he's looking at our exhibit, and he actually gave us a copy to go on the wall with the exhibit. So for anybody to say that we promote war, please come. We promote love.
Well, let's back off to that wonderful story you've told about how you discovered. What I understand is you bought that building in order to run your medical practice. And then you discovered something on a flight. Can you tell that story? It's a very powerful story.
Well, first of all, I just have to give a preamble to the fact that I'm a religious woman.
Yes.
Okay, so if you understand that I'm a religious woman, then I'm a religious woman for real. It's not.
Yes.
I'm not doing it for political accolades, and it's not anything that I was forced into. So if you understand that from my perspective, I'm sitting on an airplane coming in from California, 1999, and I sit next to this white gentleman, and he says, "You're a Negro, aren't you?" I said, "I guess. I haven't heard that term." And he says, "I have this pamphlet." And the pamphlet said, "Negro Soldiers Party, 5801 Germantown Avenue." And I said, "Wait a minute. That is where my medical practice is." And he said, "Well, that used to be a functioning USO for black soldiers." So when I got back to Philadelphia, I called my brother, who's my partner in crime, Columbus Hassan Hankins, and there was a wall that blocked off the second from the third floor. We pulled that wall down, and we found this staircase in the history.
Yeah.
And we climbed up the history, and we came up, and it was a hot mess with bird poop and all this other kind of stuff. But that's when we discovered what we would find, which was research by Mary Darby of that time, Germantown Historical Society. And she did the research for us, I found people that had actually partied up there and helped us get certified as Parker Hall. Since then, it was a major battle. It's been a battle from day one to yesterday to fully function, because in 2004, we were having our Puppets with History programs in which the kids would come. And at the museum, we had what's called ACES dollars. So when you came in, you got $1, and then you could earn others, and you would buy toys. Okay, now you understand these kids that may not have toys or may have toys, because we had some really nice stuff. We had makeup kits. We had purses. We had whatever we could get. And so people would see these teddy bears, big combs, things like you would get in an amusement park, because what we wanted to do was change the concept of museums. I understand this is 2004, because you got people that love museums. They're not the ones that need museums necessarily.
Right.
What we were trying to do is excite the kids in the area to love this museum. So they got $1 for coming through the door because we love them, but they could earn ACES dollars to buy toys, and there was no limit to the ACES dollars you could earn. Well, what we discovered very quickly is that there was usually one or two people, and not being sexist, usually girls, that can answer all the questions, like where's Tuskegee, find Alabama, you know, where's Detroit, Michigan, that sort of thing. So out of that, the educational enhancement program came about, because we said if we're going to show these deficiencies, we need to correct them. So we created an after-school program, a Saturday program where the kids could come, they could eat, they could get nourished, and they could learn things. And that went on. We got a call from the juvenile jail saying, we heard about what you're doing with the educational enhancement program. Can you come and help us? We started on Saturdays volunteering. Very soon we were part of the curriculum.
Yeah, wow.
And I actually went back to school, got my master's in education, got certified for biology, environmental education K-12, and health education K-12, solidified the educational enhancement program, started training adults, which we called Reading Rangers, to actually do the program for the kids. We were 85% successful, documented both in the Youth Study Center and at the museum, and then they totally cut our funding.
Mm. Yeah. And you don't know why? They just did. Yeah.
Well, I think I know why.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
I know why is because I'm a pacifist, and I make no qualms about that. I'm a religious person.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame to man and God that people call themselves religious people and let them build a $100 million prison.
Right.
And I was one of the lone voices going to different religious organizations with my church, with different religious groups, asking them, please, can we take this money and save children instead of locking them up? Understand, forget the rapings. Forget the psychotropic drugs, forget the beatings, because that's not supposed to happen in prison, even though we all know it does.
Yeah,
wow. But is the only thing we can do to discipline our babies is to lock them in a metal cage where they can't feel sunlight, where they can't walk on the beach, where they can't smell pure oxygen from plants?
Right.
Is this the only alternative the United States of America has?
Yeah.
Okay, and we know that's not true.
Right.
But I think that there was a coalition between cutting, because we volunteered to continue.
Yeah.
The Youth Study Center for free. We came in there for free. They wouldn't let us go back for free.
Yeah.
And in terms of the museum, we had to fight the city because the people were going to tear us down and make a parking lot or apartment building. And I have actually been in meetings where they stand there and say they'd get $7 million for community development for Germantown, but we're not going to give ACES a quarter because it doesn't even need to be there. There's no reason for a memorial to black veterans. This is somebody can stand up there in public and say that. Unfortunately, I'm a private person, so they don't even know Dr. Hankins if they saw her. And they didn't see me, so I'm sitting there listening to this.
Yeah.
That makes our fight more profound, no matter how popular. We're going to stand for our babies. No matter how popular, we're going to stand for our veterans. And one of the things we've been sponsoring again since 2004 is a post-traumatic stress disorder workshop where we go around the country, free of charge, sponsored by NAVETS, to teach what it is. Because one out of five of our veterans, and particularly coming home now, because they serve so many tours of duty. See, what happens is, as a scientist, we connect A, B, and C.
Right.
And most of the people running these programs, I don't know what they are, but they don't connect A, B, and C. One of the reasons why so much post-traumatic stress disorder might be with the fact that instead of two tours of duty in World War II, they're serving four, five, or six.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why don't we say, excuse me, put a limit on the tours of duty, you think?
Yeah, because every day we're hearing about troop suicide. It's a huge, huge problem.
But my point is that how would you feel if you never, ever knew you was going to come home? You volunteered, but you didn't volunteer for that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
no,
then the support system is not there because how could you keep a family together? Four, five, six tours of duty. You're never seeing the person. Every time they come back, they've changed.
So are you...
It should go back to two tours of duty, period. If they need more, then hire some more soldiers. Okay? But I'm saying, but if you're not connecting the dots, and you think that you could take a human being and put them under any kind of stress for year after 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 year, and then not have an effect, somebody needs to look at that. But they don't look at that, just like they don't look at the fact that if you don't have museums that celebrate black people in black communities, if you don't have museums that celebrate Hispanic. One time we were doing the George Taylor puppet show, which is about the big George Taylors, the blacks that served in both World War II in Korea, and then the Angelo Torres puppet, was not sleeping.
Right.
Well, at the end of the puppet show, little girl runs up to me, my name is Torres, my name is Torres.
Wow.
I mean, she's never had a Hispanic puppet show before. She's never heard about Hispanic warriors. They're sitting in jail, too.
Yeah.
Okay? They're sitting in jail.
Yeah.
Now, my point is that we have to decide what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And for me, it's no decision. And for the Quakers or anybody else, but particularly the Quakers, I'm disappointed in.
Yeah,
okay?
I am too.
Because there's so many Quaker schools in the area that can come help us.
Yeah.
We're right down from Germantown, friends.
I know.
Okay, and they have community programs.
Right.
Okay, but before you say wars happen, struggles happen, there were Quakers that owned slaves, okay? But they matured, and they said this is wrong.
Yeah.
World War II, like it or not.
Yes, there's no question about that.
You know, World War II, like it or not, was necessary. We had a group of people led by Hitler that believed if you were not exactly like them, you deserved to die, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Jewish, black, gypsies, homosexuals, intellectuals. One of the things he did was burn 100,000 books. Why? Because when people think on their own, when they know on their own, they're less prone to be oppressed. These babies that are in jail, one of them stood up crying after a lesson. I'm smart.
Yeah.
All his life he had heard he was dumb. It's not that he was dumb. It was how the material was being taught. That's why we're so successful. We teach it 17 different ways, 19 different ways, 20 different ways. We teach it until they get it. To me, the most strange thing when I was doing student teaching was how we went on to the second lesson if the first one wasn't learned. Now, this is because there's all sorts of crazy people whose ulterior goal is financial. In Pennsylvania, if a school fails, it automatically could become a charter school. Charter schools are big businesses.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, they'll pay a charter school $3 million to run a school and give that same public school $150,000 or something like that for the same number of students.
Wow.
And Chris Christie and his government trying to change everything over to private. Now, the problem with that is a whole lot of problems, but my particular problem with it is that the person that's running the school does not believe minority children are college prep material.
Right.
They're going to do better than public schools because they make sure public schools do so badly. They have no books. They have no libraries. They have no love. They cut out the after-school programs. If you compare a public school curriculum with a friend's school or a private school, one of the things you have is fun.
Right.
School is
right.
fun. You
school
look forward
fun.
To going there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? You,
yeah.
you have arts, you have crafts, you have music, you have sports. You take all that away, and would you want to sit in school? I actually had an associate contact me from Washington, and they were going to set up an educational enhancement school.
Mm.
I mean, after-school program. So
yeah.
I went down there, showed them how to do it. So they called me, make a long story short, and said, it's not working. I said, wait a minute, I don't understand that, because
yeah.
we've had success for almost a decade. And she said, it's not working. What you gave us isn't working. So what they did is they took the modules that we used and they photostated them.
Yeah.
And they had the kids come in after school and do the modules. Okay?
Yeah.
But I asked them, where are the microscopes? Where are the microslides? Where's the clay? Where's the paint? Where are the
It was theoretical with paper? Oh. Yeah.
Not only that, but their promise, because I didn't charge anything, was 10% was supposed to go to supplies. So out of a $30,000 grant, $3,000 is supposed to go to supplies, which is a lot of supplies for 30 kids.
Yeah.
They kept that money.
Gosh.
Father started the stuff, so after the kids sat in school all day, they were supposed to sit in school after the program, and then they talk about they have a discipline problem. One of the things we do
Incredible.
With the educational enhancement program is if something, say we're going over to 50 states, okay?
Yeah.
So we go over to 50 states and they have to put the map together and they have to tell something about the states and have to do their own research.
Mm.
Well, what happens if a child catches fire, and that's what I call it, they catch fire. So
now when did you start the, I mean here, okay, I'm just looking at the timeline. You arrive in Germantown, you start up a medical practice. How did you get from there to doing educational enhancement programs? What was the logical step? How did you get from running a medical practice to additionally running after-school programs and educational enhancement programs?
Well, the thing is, with
and what is the connection between that and the Black veteran?
Okay. Two separate questions. The first one is, prior to 2003, I always had separate jobs. So I never just was at the medical center.
Okay.
I was at the medical center, also was associate medical director of JFK Hospital, also was medical director of sobriety through outpatient program.
Okay.
Okay, so, and also did hospital rounds. So very few doctors just stay in their practice.
Okay.
Okay, so what happened is, as ACEs was discovered, and I got more and more involved in that, and then what happened was I had to make a choice because it's just simply so many hours in a day.
Okay.
Okay. And we were approved with research in 2010, but at this point it's just an observation that these kids aren't dying of leukemia, and they aren't dying of anemia, sickle cell anemia. These kids are dying of social disease. They're getting shot. They're getting raped. They're getting put in jail. So if I really wanted to save lives, which, of course, is what I want to do prior to becoming a doctor, that's why I became a doctor.
Okay.
So if you really want to save lives in the black and minority community, you've got to make sure they get an education and love.
Right.
Okay, because that's what's missing. They're not loved. You know, you don't lock up kids you love. I moved my child, my son, out to Gwinnett Valley when he hit, I guess 11 or 12, because he was going into the punk phase. Maybe I've been older than that. But I got him the heck out of Philadelphia, because in Philadelphia, when a boy gets in trouble, he's going to get involved in the youth study center. He's going to get involved in the criminal system. Punkness becomes criminal.
Mm.
And when I was in student teaching. This girl called her teacher, my instructor, a heifer. Now, forget the fact she was a heifer. It was totally wrong for her to call her a heifer.
Incredible.
I'm not going to say that because it was rude and it was ill-mannered. And her mother should have came and popped her in the mouth, and she should have been suspended. But with a zero tolerance policy, she got arrested. And I fought against it, and I called the school board. I said, it's not a crime to be ill-mannered. That's what children do. Now that she's in jail, she can't come back to public school. Her life is over because she had a punk episode.
Incredible.
Why? Because they got to fill that prison.
Yeah. That's
you see what I'm saying? Now, when you go out to Gwinnett Valley, it's the direct opposite.
Yeah.
I don't care what those kids do, they don't get arrested.
Right.
Okay? If it's the worst case scenario, they get them psychological counseling. They put them in a military academy.
Yeah.
But they don't arrest them. They don't throw them in jail.
Right. Wow.
Okay? So that's why I moved out there when my son was in the punk phase, and thank God he just grew out of it, as most kids do. But I'd much rather them grow out of it in the college dorm than being used and abused in an adult prison.
Absolutely.
But the people, the racists, and I say racists both black and white, the racists that do not see minority children as human, that think that there is no discipline, because discipline is simply to make a person better, there is only punishment, are very comfortable with locking them in jail. To the point, now it's gotten so bad that they're going to close 40 schools at the same time they opened in the prison, guaranteeing the prison will be full. But I didn't mean to digress into that, but it's all connected. How this has to do with the black veteran? Because my father was Muslim.
Yeah.
And every time he made salat, they threw him in a stockade. They threw him in jail for praying.
Good.
And then finally they said, forget it. He ended up serving 4 tours of duty, but that's a separate discussion.
Yeah.
How many jails, how many lynchings, how many firings, how many getting kicked out of school happens because of the color of people's skins or just their gender? I mean, can you imagine being a soldier with your legs cut off and then you can't even get combat benefits because you have a vagina?
Right.
Now, you were in combat, but you couldn't get benefits up until 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So this is why. This is the connection. Respect the past, nurture the future.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I take us on a walk through the museum. I know I've done it sometimes, but just you have this wonderful basement. You have this wonderful Tuskegee exhibit. You have these other rooms of exhibits. And then on the second floor, you have all these education rooms that can't be used at the moment. And then you have the beautiful wooden floor, this gorgeous open room upstairs that's a ballroom and with a grand piano, and which you can't use anymore. So I would like you to walk us through the museum. But before you do that, can you tell us why you can't use the second floor and the third floor right now?
Well, right now there's a bulge in the wall. And because of the bulge in the wall, we can't open the second and third floor, because at the time when we were open, we had over 200 people coming in a day, and we really were self-sustaining. You know, we didn't have to, people came and donated, and, we were doing fine. But because of the bulge in the wall, we were in court for over 2 years, because they wanted to, like I said, tear the building down, even though we had structural engineers saying it was structurally sound. So finally we had a judge, who's now Judge Joseph Waters. At that time he was our attorney. And Joseph Waters, we went to court, and we said the white veterans actually stood out and said we will not allow this structure to be destroyed because it tells the history of our black veterans of World War II. So the compromise was we were able to solidify the walls with these gigantic beams, so that in the event if the brick wall did fall down, the structure would stand up. But we have not been able to get the $40,000 to fix the wall. And because there's nothing we're doing that just would bring that kind of money. I mean, we have enough to sustain the programs, and our Aces of World War II exhibit on the first floor and making a slave exhibit in the basement. So those two are open. And then the other side is my medical practice, which is open. But we cannot use the second and third floor. You can, you know, people that would invest, we could show them, but we can't open to the general public until that wall is fixed. So what we're trying to do now is see what we can do to generate that lump sum of money so we can fix the wall and open the entire building. If you were to come now and you had a group, we have a whole hour program or 2 hours, depending on how much you want, in which we have Puppets with History and reenactment. You might see Frank Sinatra. You might see Billie Holiday, depending on what you have. But you usually will see the George Washington Carver puppet. And then we have a little science exhibit. Which the kids might learn about photosynthesis, or Dr. Charles Drew, they'll learn about the cell lines and how to name the baby daddy. And then you go into the different tours in which we have the Aces of World War II and talk about the involvement of people in general, all ethnic groups in World War II. Then we have a women's and civilians exhibit, and we have a Tuskegee Airmen exhibit and an exhibit to the female pilots. And in addition, we have a posters from World War II, but a lot of our artifacts are actually downtown in City Hall because there was a new veteran center that was open, and we allowed them to use it. So, but some of that stuff is getting ready to come home, you know. So, but if you do want to see the Pure Aces exhibit, you can go down to the veteran center at City Hall.
Which is great. How long is that going to be open for?
I don't know, because right now I'm not very happy with them because of some things that's happening. But I would say at least until probably Valentine's Day.
Oh, so only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I probably need to
go and take pictures of it. The thing is, we're tired of one-sided relationships. We have started so many programs.
Yeah.
In fact, our educational enhancement program was funded in Germantown, but not with us. Our Puppets with History program was funded, but not with us. Our reenactment program was funded, but not with us.
Right.
And they get these wonderful grants. The Germantown Historical Society and Clive then get these wonderful community grants because ACES is involved, but we don't get a dime from it.
Yeah.
We don't even get any publicity
to me,
from it.
From everything I've seen, from everything I know about the ACES Museum, it seems to me it's a huge civil rights issue. You are absolutely being discriminated against.
Absolutely.
And I see that. I see that very, very clearly. And this is something that has that can be addressed by money. What I need you to do is tell me how much I need two pieces of information from you. I want you to tell me where you want to be in 10 years, where ACES wants to be in 10 years, and how much money do you really need? I mean, $40,000 to fix the wall, but that's not the only thing. That's not
no,
the only
thing. No, actually, I just did a position paper for our new board members, of which, of course, we also will send you a copy of.
Thank you.
As to what do we want to do with ACES Community Development and Preservation, because that's what ACES Museum is about. And there are several abandoned buildings that are near to us that can become veterans' historical and manufacturing sites, because what the Bible says is that, in fact, one of my favorite books is James, and he says, in essential, you know, you say, feed me, clothe me, and then you don't do anything. At the end of the day, you still haven't done anything. So at the end of the day, we want to do stuff, and we have the capacity. We trained 35 Rainy Rangers. We took these women and some men who were welfare to work, because at that time, somebody had told us they were going to give us a grant. So we train the Reading Rangers to do the educational system. So it helped the kids because instead of a 1-to-30 ratio, we had a 1-to-3 ratio with the Reading Rangers. We want to make that program permanent.
Yeah.
We want to train, instead of giving $3 million to a school from Switzerland to update our public school, we want to take $1 million of that money, rehab the building, $1 million of it, hire the people in the community to help educate the kids, and then 20% of that will come back to the educational enhancement program in which we would teach and follow up. So we wouldn't have that mess that happened in Washington where people say what they're going to do something and they don't do it. And we would make sure our kids have the state-of-the-art supplies and physical fitness and food. Because let me tell you something, when we first started the program, when the kids got out of school, they were irritable, and then we discovered they got to eat. So we gave them oranges and fruits, and we used these vegetables and fruits as teaching lessons.
Yeah.
You know, okay, why do you have to have this food group? Can you paint this? And in the background, they're listening to Mozart and Beethoven and jazz, and they're growing and they're learning and they're getting nurtured. So therefore, we also went to class at the Harlem Children's Zone, which pretty much does what we do, only sort of differently. But the most important thing about them is they had a mayor who supported them.
So
they had a $21 million endowment. We have a mayor that wants to lock the kids up.
So here you are. You're doing this incredible good work in this corner of Germantown, which has every possibility of being an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous place. You're right across the street from Pistorius Park, which is beautiful.
And not only that, but the thing is that it is a tourist. When we have the Day of Honor in May, people come from all over the country.
They certainly
did. We get more support from California than we do from Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And you know, because it's been at the main program.
Yeah, I am absolutely right.
And this is what we're doing with a wing and a prayer. So if we actually had some money, first thing we would do is buy some of the other buildings that are vacant, the Y across the street, the beautiful town hall, and expand the whole concept. Have a whole exhibit hall for Hispanics, Native Americans, blah, blah, blah. And then at the bottom, have this wonderful kitchen where we can teach culinary arts. And every week we would have a different ethnic group. We have Ethiopian food. We have Navajo food. Introduce the public and the surroundings to that at the same time they're learning. Do manufacturing, create jobs.
And create jobs.
Veterans don't need monologue. Yeah. They need education, support, and jobs. They can be tour guides. They can drive the buses. They can create the toys. They can create the books.
It's interesting.
$7 million program that can create jobs for hundreds of people, not only in ACES, but all over.
Yeah.
Because when we, in 2009, I had actually went to this tour group in Coshocton, Pennsylvania, and they brought Germans over, and they heard about the ACES Museum, and we were going to set up bus tours.
Yeah.
So you would come to ACES, you would get your lunch, you would get your private jazz session, you can have some jitterbugging, and your whole day would be spent in this museum. And then if you wanted to go shopping, all of the stores that had the little ACES logo would give you 10% discount. It builds the entire area.
Yeah.
And we actually had funding for this but could not get support from city council.
Wow.
So it's not money. It's not about money. Like I said, they have money, but it goes all around us.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
And that's what we need to change.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars, and ACES is right on the top of the proposal.
Yeah.
But we don't get a dime. Nothing, period.
Yeah.
And then they wonder, oh, well, the wall isn't fixed. Excuse me, I have asked them, please, come help us. Now, before, even though we didn't get money, at least the name was out there. The last time we did the community great day, they erased our name. We did jump the broom, gave cake and everything else. They paid everybody else $700, didn't give us a dime.
Yeah.
Pure discrimination, 100% discrimination. But you can only fight so many battles. Our thing is, okay, fine, in the tradition of the 6888s, in the tradition of the triple nickels, in the tradition of the Muslims that got locked up from praying in the stockade, we're going to still be there. But what we're asking your listening audience is this.
Well, that's what that's what I'm seeing. And as a Quaker, I am seeing discrimination by Quakers. And this is
absolutely
outrageous.
Well, I'm asking you as a Quaker to go back to them. Go back to the Quakers.
Well, you know, this is the thing. Let's hope people will listen to this and examine their hearts and understand what's going on.
And come look. It's a love fest. It's a love fest. We don't glorify war, but we're fighting a war.
Yeah.
And one thing about pacifists, you may not pick up a gun, but pacifists are the best fighters. Mahatma Gandhi.
Pacifists are the best. It takes a lot more courage to not fight than to fight. I mean, this is what we know.
What happened is I was coming to the office one day with a handful of books, and I guess this was like 2005, 2006, and this gigantic person stopped me. His name was Tyrone, and I remember that because there was a song called Call Tyrone. And he said, my friend said, you got to stop putting us in jail. So I said, well, if you know anything about me, you know I don't even believe in jail. So why don't you open the door and let me put these books down so we can talk. Now, I'm terrified because he's got these big prison muscles, and he's threatening me. And he said, well, you keep putting my friends in jail. I said, no, we're not putting anybody in jail, but you're not going to deal drugs on this corner. In 2005, when I went to the police department, because there was a drug mini mart, crack, heroin, everything. When you came out from the puppet shows, you smelled the crack smoke.
Yeah.
I said, it's not going to happen. The police said, I can't do nothing. I might be shot. We had prayer vigils. We stood in the corner. We gave the drug dealers history. A pamphlet. And believe me, history to a drug dealer is like a cross to a vampire.
Really? Yeah.
They're going to run.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Tyrone came to threaten me. And I told him, I said, before you talk about doing harm, come up and see what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I took him to Parker Hall. He saw the beauty. And he saw the educational enhancement program. And you know what he said? He said, I'm going to help you.
Whoa.
That's what he said. He said, I'm going to help you because you're doing something good in the community.
Yeah.
And those same drug dealers send their kids to the museum.
You are one brave woman.
No, I am a Christian.
You are a Christian. You really are. You live
and
your
Christians
faith, and that's beautiful.
Fought against lions, and that was a lion, and I was scared and I almost peed on myself.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point of the matter, somebody got to stand up to Nero.
Yeah.
Okay, so when these people say, I promote war, ACES promote war, we're in a war.
Yeah.
And because you put your head in the sand doesn't mean that the war is over. Every time they attack ACES, every time they build a prison, every single Quaker, every single Baptist, every single Church of God in Christ, they should be ashamed of themselves. And that's what I've been saying about building this prison even before it's been built.
Yeah.
If you can't teach the kids, let us do it. But
you're
going to call yourself a religious person and you're going to allow a $110 million prison
tell
to be
me more.
Built and operated full of children.
Now, what is this prison? When was it announced?
I'm not going to go into that. You can look it up on yourself. I really don't. Okay? But the point of the matter is, the thing is, for the people that refuse to support us, okay, one of the things that happened in Nazi Germany, they had this group called the White Glove, and they saw what was happening, and they tried to get support, and it didn't happen. And you know what happened. It took us years to come away from what the Nazis and the Axis powers had done. It's going to take us years, even if today we said we're going to do something different with our resources. It would take us years to become a humane country. But my point is, for the people that's in this country to call themselves humanity, and particularly the Christians, Jesus said, help the least of these. And that's what we're doing on ACES. When you have one out of five homeless being veterans laying in their own urine, out of their mind with grief and worry and sadness, ashamed to talk about the role they played in our freedom.
Yeah.
We sleep at night. Even the pacifists, we sleep at night because somebody else doesn't.
Yeah.
I will not pick up a gun. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. But I thank the people that picked up guns. Let me tell you something. I was in Morocco.
Yeah, wow.
And in the time I was in Morocco, you could not come out. Women could not come out of the shade. They could never feel the sun on their face. If they were shopping, they had to go under little awnings. And every time it's summer, and I put on my shorts, and I have my from a top star. I'm grateful I have the choice. Nobody's going to behead me. Nobody's going to beat me. Nobody's going to pour acid down my throat because I want to get some vitamin D from the beautiful sunshine that God has put out for us.
Yeah. Wow.
You're going to tell me about peace. What is the peace when the only relationship you can have is just to have sex, produce a son, and stay in the house? How many girls have gotten acid thrown on their face because they wanted to pick up a book? And I'm sitting here with multiple degrees.
Yeah.
I have to give back. I don't know what other people do, but when I started this, I told you, you have to, in order to understand me, you have to understand that I'm a woman of faith.
Right.
So when they,
yeah.
when they cut my medical practice off so that I can barely pay my bills, when they threaten to turn down the building, when they attack me personally, when they make up lies about me and I'm sitting up there listening to them, I count myself privileged. Because I know I'm a real Christian. And from our victories, we're still there. And ACES is still doing a fantastic job to the point that the city council representative asked for us to come there. Didn't give us any money now, didn't give us any help, but
right.
We're there to make them look good. And you know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to say yes because it's not about personal. Because you know
right.
what we do? We turn the other cheek.
Right.
So if someone
yeah.
treats us like crap and it's going to help our babies, you know what we do? We turn the other cheek. If somebody
right.
spits on us and it's going to help our veterans, we turn the other cheek.
Right.
And
right.
our presence there has been good for that neighborhood and has been good for the drug dealers and is good for the babies and the veterans. That's why we're asking your listening audience to change things instead of
yeah.
talking about it.
So where do people
could,
send money? Where do people send
5801 Germantown Avenue, Philadelphia, 19144.
And you're a nonprofit? The ACES Museum is a nonprofit?
Yes, ACES Museum is nonprofit.
It's ACES a 501c3. Yes.
5801-3 Germantown Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19144.
Okay, so they can just send checks to you. And
yes.
And in the subject line, just say donation. Is there a way of donating money online through credit
card? There is, but that's a little more complicated for me.
So maybe what we can do is I can put that information on the page of.
Sounds good.
On the
okay,
so,
because
so,
my tech
so
person will have
that.
To answer that. I do think we do have PayPal on there. So when you go
mm-hmm.
to the website acesmuseum.org, you can look and see if our PayPal is up there.
Okay, well, that's
that would be more convenient for you. But definitely checks and money orders. We need you. Come by. We're open Tuesdays from 12 to 4 on Thursdays. But for groups of 15, we'll be open for you. We'll
and
have a special
you,
tour
and,
for you with the puppet shows.
And you're always looking for volunteers to help with the museum?
Oh, absolutely. We need volunteers to help with the museum, puppet shows, marketing, everything, and we would love to see you. Love to see you.
And the volunteers, they can be tech savvy. They can be physically just coming to greet people. They can clean. They can.
We need everybody.
Everything.
And again, that's how we'll grow. If we have some volunteers on a regular basis, then we can be open every day.
So
we
what really? Yeah, every
mm-hmm.
day. That's right.
Yeah.
If yes, and that which of course is your goal. Now one thing of course is, and this is what you were saying, the ACES Museum is like an oasis in an area that's very, very dangerous. And to have an oasis.
What you said the first
yeah.
time you came, you said it's a touch of spring. I thought that
yeah.
was so beautiful.
But
you know, in a loveless environment, and what
yeah.
happens?
Yeah.
People around the world are going to be listening to this broadcast. And
right.
I know it sounds kind of rough, and I'm a patriot
yeah.
and I love my country, but I'm going to
yeah.
say the same thing for your country, too. There's
yeah.
an ACES there that needs you.
Yeah.
There's some struggling program that's doing what's right that's not getting funded because they're not popular.
Right.
I talked to a gentleman yesterday who's actually coming on the board, and he's in this very big church that gives out grants.
Yeah.
And he asked, well, did you apply? And I just smiled. And he said, all I did was smile because I don't like to be negative, okay?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
obviously, we're not on the grant list. obviously we're not on the care list, and that should change.
Yeah.
The problem with incest is it breeds idiots.
Yeah.
And what happens in these particularly black organizations is everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody a little too well. So rather than you being judged on the merit of your proposal, you're judged on the merit of who you know. And that's the same in white organizations. But white organizations have a tendency to be pretty more savvy. They're smart enough to put us on their proposal, but they're also smart enough not to give us any money.
Right.
Okay, because they know once we're open again, we're going to have another $200 people coming through. But it's not about that right now. It's about setting up independence, and it's about using the past to nurture the future. Respect the past, nurture the future. Our babies need to hear about these heroes. The Puerto Rican kids need to hear about the five Menendez who all of them fought in World War II. Okay, I understand when they came back, couldn't get any benefits because the benefits were in Spanish. But Manuel Lorenzo, the first Hispanic commandant, fought. He had to fight. Even after fighting as a World War II veteran, he had to fight to get the benefits turned over in Spanish, and he was one of the founding fathers of ACES.
Yeah.
So we can't change. We just got to go out to these lions.
Right.
And we got to say, just like we told the drug dealers, look.
Yeah.
And guess what happens with the darn lions? You know what they do? They come back and say they're going to help. You are a lion to us. You are a panther to us. You're giving us a chance for the voice to be heard, and we hope some real things, some real progress, some real money, some real volunteers, and some real letters of support to go to the city council and ask, why aren't we being funded?
Yeah. Now, what programs do you have coming up?
Well, the next one is our Day of Love Fest. For Valentine's Day for the veterans. That's February the 9th.
February 9th. Okay.
Yes.
ACES Museum, 5801 Germantown Avenue.
Yes.
And
love
that's
will be open
like
from
10 o'clock? 12 to 12 o'clock.
No, 12. 12. Nobody comes at 10.
Okay. Noon.
12 to 4. And we'll have candy and hearts and things throughout the day to celebrate the love of the veterans and their families.
So I'll be there, and we need to have we need people to come with their checkbooks.
Yes, and have fun.
And have fun, absolutely. Yes. And so that's really really great. And I've already, as the publisher of mjoda.org and mjodatalks.org, I've already published 4 pages on the ACES Museum. Which people are reading, but there will be more pages, and I will have a page of the upcoming events and also how to donate. That's something that hasn't been there. But also, too, as Dr. Hankins explained, you also have an ACES Museum website. Can you say that website again?
ACESmuseum.org.
Okay, ACESmuseum.org. So there are multiple ways.
Now, what's
ways.
Even more important, we have a YouTube ACES teaser. So if you put in ACES Museum teaser, T-A-S-E-R,
yes,
you will see our YouTube, and it was actually professionally done from a production company in New York, and it's actually like a mini movie.
Right. And
that you will actually hear the veterans, and I think that's a better way to actually know who we are.
That link.
And I should say something about the sailors.
Yes. Yes.
The sailors that you see in that YouTube on their way to war.
Yeah.
Stop to the museum.
Yeah.
That's how important it was to them, because we think they were important on their way to war. They stopped to see us. We get support from sailors on the way to war, but we can't get a dollar from city council. Something's wrong with that. But we don't care. We don't care about city council. We're asking you, the public.
Yeah.
In the spirit of the Great Migration, in which hundreds of thousands of blacks migrated from the South to the North to get acclimated away from slavery and post-slavery, there wasn't a single grant. It wasn't a single social worker. It was all done by community love. We're asking you, please love ACES, please love the veterans, please love the children, and come have fun. Because sometimes it's not that heavy. It's about just coming here, hearing the music, dancing, having a puppet show, and having fun. Bring your kids to have fun.
What I really have fun. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's great fun. Everyone, it's certainly love. And one thing that's very nice is anyone who's a relative of a veteran gets a medal on behalf of their veteran.
Yes.
Because at this stage, the World War II veterans have mostly passed.
Yes.
So you get a medal in honor of them. And it's just lovely. And I've seen people being given these medals who are just overwhelmed. They're just so thrilled.
It's not the medal, it's the thought behind the medal.
It is the thought. We recognize you.
Yes.
That's what's
missing, I think, in the world at large and the black community specifically.
Yeah.
The thing about the drug culture is a very satanic culture. It's a very selfish culture. I'm going to sell drugs, and I'm going to addict you and destroy you so that I can profit. And somewhere since the 1980s, this culture has been glamorized in the black community. I think it's deliberate, and I think because a lot of history is so-called missing, but that's a separate issue.
Right.
Christian culture, and one of the reasons that I was attracted to being Christian, separate of the religious implication, is the Christian culture teaches love.
Yes.
God is love in the Christian culture. You help the less of the. You have compassion on people in jail. In fact, there was a passage in the Bible that bothered me for years. And what the passage was is Lazarus had gone to hell, and he wanted to get some water. And he was told, look, you can't, you know, you're done. You had your chance, you know. And I was thinking, my gosh, you know, what did this man do to deserve this? Okay?
What?
And then there's this passage where it's crumbs. The woman just asked for crumbs off the table. And, you know, that's all I want is the crumbs. And then there's the passage where the woman has adultery and they're going to stone her.
Right.
You know, they're going to just, you know, not the man, but they're going to stone the woman.
That's right.
And I started thinking about all these, and I said, you know, what's the theme here? I'm trying to get it.
Yeah.
What is it? And then it came to me.
Yeah.
What Christian should be. And for me, what Christianity is.
Yeah.
It's compassion.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what we're not seeing from the Christian community. When these people protest and want to put somebody in jail because they raped and have an abortion, and when these people want to kill people with the death penalty, and they want to cut out school lunches for kids, and they want to build prisons, that's not Christian compassion.
Right.
If someone got raped, you need to have compassion for her or him. You don't need to lock her up.
Mother Teresa talked about seeing the face of Christ in every human being. That's what stuck with me. That's what a Christian is. You see the face of Jesus in every human being. Or if
well,
you're
I'm no
a
Mother
Muslim.
Teresa.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I don't see the face of Christ. Let me tell you something. I've been threatened by drug dealers. I don't see the Christ in
them. You don't see the Christ in the drug dealers, but you do though, because what you're doing is you're seeing these drug dealers, and you're not seeing them as drug dealers. You're seeing them as humans that can be turned around and not put in jail. You are Mother Teresa.
No, I agree with that. Now that must be true.
Yeah.
The
other person that really affected me was Archbishop Tutu. He came to the University of Pennsylvania in 1986. I was at the University of Pennsylvania for 18 years as a researcher and faculty and stuff. But he came to talk, and this was during the era of apartheid. And he's a very gentle soul, and he just told us that we've got to understand that God holds us in the palm of his hand all the time. And it was just, that's just stuck with me. It's just so beautiful. That's what's going on.
And not only that, but you look at Nelson Mandela, who spent 20-some years in jail and came back. I was watching the movie Playing with the Enemy or something. Anyways, about these rugby players.
Yeah.
That, you know, he he liked rugby, and he wanted the community to support the rugby team, which had been extremely racist. But it was a symbol for we can blend together as South Africans. And
right.
My point is that when ACES Museum is a testament that we don't have to lock our kids up, that we don't have to allow the veterans to lay in their own urine.
Right.
We can and are changing things.
Right.
The ACES is a battle. It is a lion roaring, and every day you don't know what they're going to come to do to try to tear us down. But we have this wonderful power behind us, and it's the power of righteousness.
Right.
And I believe it, and that's it. We have to save these kids. It's not acceptable. And unfortunately, the people that need to hear this probably won't listen to your radio show, but it's not acceptable for us to call ourselves religious people, for us to say God-fearing people, but not to stand up for what's right. Jesus got crucified because he stood up for what's right. He said, look, you're not going to turn my church into a den of thieves.
Right.
You know, it was jealousy that killed Jesus.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it was jealousy.
Yeah.
You know, he is doing this. He's the Son of God. What are we then? They could have as easily joined him. And that's what we're saying. As opposed to destroying us and fight us, build up Germantown. Build up ACES. ACES helped build Germantown.
It you know,
the
I
drug
really...
drug dealers off of the street. It got a comfortable place to go, international place, and all the money that's coming in Germantown is going all around us again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a firm believer in keeping your heart pure and keeping your eyes on the prize. Look, I was just in Washington this last weekend, the re-inauguration of President Obama, which when you look at how he became president, it was because of corruption. He got the nomination, and he was unopposed for senator from Illinois. And during that time, he was plucked from obscurity and given the platform at the 2004 Democratic Convention, where he just electrified us. It was like the Red Sea parted for President Obama to become president. It's extraordinary.
No, I don't think anybody...
Very hard work. But he never did anything
I don't think anybody
wrong.
Thought he would do it.
Well, that's right. Absolutely not. Well, that's the thing. I mean, when you really keep focused and you really know what you're doing and you have a pure heart, it's going to happen. I think people are going to start paying attention to ACES Museum. Because if your heart is pure and you're focused, it will happen. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to figure out a way of making this happen. We're trying to figure out a way to make the Red Sea part. Isn't that really what we're trying to do?
Exactly. And, he said if two come together, you could do it. And as a religious person who actually has no choice.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I just think the satanic, selfish culture. I remember talking to, I'm not going to say friend, but an associate of mine when I first started ACES.
Yeah.
And we had started the educational enhancement program, and I had made the decision I was going to cut off my other jobs, which means a great reduction in income.
Right.
And I asked her for some money to help.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, no, I got to have a Judy Bond blouse. Now, I actually didn't know that there were Judy Bond blouses, because when I go shopping, I just see what I like and I get it, and it's on sale.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's an $80 blouse.
Yeah.
And my point is, $80 blouse,
rather than
you know, and I'm asking you for $50 to help with the babies.
Yeah,
$50 might help get these kids out of jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's that's the kind of value system we have to challenge.
Yeah.
When we had our Veterans Day parade last year, not this year. This year was a disaster, but because they actually had one downtown. They knew about ours and had another one at the same time. And that's fine, because the reason why we were doing this is because there wasn't one.
Yeah.
But they could have at least told us. But that's a separate issue. That's part of the shut ACES out.
Yeah.
But we got to just do better than this. That's all I'm saying. We got to share the love. And to me, that's one thing my son said. Two things that I'd like to remember him with. One is that love is an action verb.
Yeah.
If you don't know somebody loves you, they don't. Okay? Because you should really feel that somebody loves you. Okay?
Wow.
And the other one is you're not a family till your lights get cut off.
Right.
You know, until you have trials. Because one day our lights had gotten cut off and I was crying. And he said, you're not a family till your lights get cut off.
That's beautiful.
You know, so
I think
an interesting name.
I think that's the title of your book. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about at this stage? And we will talk again on air.
Well, at this stage, I would just like to thank
you
for your support of ACES. And as you know, we're getting ready to work on some more elevated projects, and I think this discussion was the start of it. I have to get out of my comfort zone because, contrary to popular belief, I don't like talking. I'm much more comfortable with my books. But if I'm going to ask the kids to get out of their comfort zone, I have to get out of mine. And if me talking or speaking for people or doing something is going to help us get the money and the support that we need, because it's not just about money. We want them to actually come to ACES. We want you to book a group, 15 or more, so that we can have puppet shows and see the whole thing. If not, you're just going to have a tour. But in order for us to do the whole program, we have to have a group of 15 or more. But it's just the idea that you are doing this. Your love is, in fact, an action verb, and you've been working with us and for us since the day you came in and said ACES was a touch of spring, and we appreciate it.
And you are available for giving talks and others.
And motivational tours.
And anywhere. I mean, if people want to pay your trip to Australia to talk to the Lions Club or the Rotary in Australia, you'll be there. Or Saudi
Absolutely.
Arabia,
in fact,
or India, China, anywhere.
I told her. One of the veterans, when I went to do my post-traumatic stress disorder workshop in North Carolina, he says, "What do you charge?" I said, "Well, transportation and rice and gravy."
Yeah, right.
but we got to do a little bit better than that, because everything we have been doing has been for free. So we will continue to do that, because that's who we are. But if you do have the resources and you do want us to come, and we have wonderful stories that we can tell, inspirational stories, for people that maybe just need to get another perspective or just like the entertainment value, we don't care.
Right.
You know,
but
we need the support, and we certainly will. And I like traveling. I've never been to Australia. So if somebody wants to sponsor us for Australia, and the price is right,
I hope so. I hope so. Especially today is Australia Day, the 26th of January, when white folks landed in Australia and claimed it and said that it belongs to them and stole it from the Aborigines. So today is a very contentious day in Australia. Yes. So,
no different than the 4th of July in America. But the point of the matter is we're here now.
We're here.
And we can
learn
to get together and we can love each other. And I just want to end with our motto: respect the past, but nurture the future.
God bless you and your good works, Dr. Hankins. I'll talk to you again soon. Goodbye.
Thank you.